ISV family, good morning. This is P. Sam here. I'm back in Hong Kong. I'm here in quarantine, and I'm really glad to be with you guys this Sunday morning. First of all, I just want to say thank you for your prayers. That was a difficult time of being in the U.S. It was a very rewarding time, and we got to say our goodbyes and our respects to Juanita and meet her family. We gave her a beautiful celebration of life service in California, as well as a wonderful burial service in Arkansas, which I led both services. And it was really a beautiful time. And so thank you for praying for me, praying for her family throughout this time. We really felt the presence of God. I felt it the whole time. I have some testimonies. The one night, I didn't really sleep that much at all during this trip. And when the morning I was supposed to fly to Arkansas, I actually woke up really late. I actually missed my flight. I woke up in a panic. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't even know, should I even take a shower? I'm so late already. There's no way I can make this flight. And sure enough, I looked at my phone and I get a message from American Airlines telling me that they pushed back the flight for 2 hours. And I was, oh, praise God. God was watching out for me. I don't want to disappoint Juanita and her family. And so it really all worked out. Instead of a 5-hour layover in Dallas, I only had a 3-hour layover. And so God worked that out. And even when I landed here, I came back to Hong Kong, flew from Tokyo on Thursday night. And our flight landed early. And so we actually touched down at 11:59 p.m., just before midnight. And apparently that's the official cutoff time. And so I was considered, my first day in Hong Kong was Thursday. And so when the officer was writing my quarantine forms, my quarantine papers, he basically said I could leave Wednesday night midnight instead of Thursday night midnight. 1 minute saved me a whole day of quarantine. And so I just wanted to kiss that pilot and just really thank Japan Airlines for coming in early. And there's so many things like this happen throughout this trip. I was able to go to SP New York and minister, and just really the presence of God was with us during that time. And so, I mean, really thank you for your prayers. And it's really a blessing to wrap up at least this part of the series before RT speaks next Sunday in our Easter service. So today, I have the privilege of sharing Jesus's words, I am the true vine. So if you turn to me into John 15, 1-5, let's read this. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That was John 15, 1-5. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for this time. God, we thank you through the technology, even though we are apart, God, that we can be together, Lord, in spirit, God. And so, Lord, would you come and speak to us through this text, God? Tell us, Lord, show us what you mean, God, that you are the true vine. We don't want to be attached to fake vines, God. We don't want to be attached to anything else but the true vine. You are the true bread. You are true life. And so teach us at this time. To that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room and all the rooms. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately. So, Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. Lord, we thank you, God. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we've been going through this series, and it's interesting that particularly the Apostle John, he writes at length about Jesus' self-identification. There are actually about a dozen I am statements or I am phrases in John's gospel. I just give you a few of these here. John 6:35 and 48, he says, I am the bread. In John 6:51, he says, I am the living bread. In John 8:12 and 9:5, he says, I am the light of the world. In 10:7, he says, I'm the door of the sheep. And in 10:9, he says, I'm the door. In 10:11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. In 10:36, he says that he is the Son of God. In 11:25, Jesus says that I am the resurrection and the life. And in 12:46, he says, I am the light. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in 15:1, we get to, he says, I am the true vine. Now, John 15 actually is probably best understood as a single passage from John 14, 15, and 16. So you remember what's going on. After the Passover meal, Jesus predicts his betrayal, and then Judas leaves basically to do what he just predicted, to betray Jesus. And so during this time, Jesus informs the disciples right after the supper that he is leaving, and now he is attempting to comfort the disciples regarding his departure. So we'll see this. The book ends in John 14:1, the beginning of this passage. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. This is probably better translated as, you believe in God, believe also in me. And then he finished this huge pericope in John 16:33. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So you see, in the beginning of this passage, he's trying to comfort his disciples, and he finishes this passage by continually comforting them because they've been told that he's going to be going away, that he's going to die. They still don't quite understand and grasp it all, but at least part of that message is there. Now, Jesus' teaching on the true vine is also bookended with two powerful teachings on the Holy Spirit, one in chapter 14 and then one in chapter 16. So you see how John kind of takes these themes and wraps it up, and then the middle of it, the meat of this whole passage of comfort and this passage of encouragement, is really the teaching on the vine. And this is really important. Now, most likely, what was happening is they're probably passing through the temple complex at this time. And there was probably a sculptured vine that was decorating one of the walls. And that leads Jesus to start in this teaching that he is the true vine, just like he is the true light and he is the true bread. This is the genuine reality of which all the references in the Old Testament were. And all those references in the Old Testament, they were just merely shadows of what appears in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the image of the vineyard was very well known, and it was a really powerful picture of Israel. I'll just read some passages. In Isaiah 5 to 7, the first part of 7, it says, For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. And so we see this imagery, this vineyard, this garden is really Israel, and it's the people of God. Now we know that God is the gardener. In Isaiah 27:2, it says, in that day, a vineyard of wine, sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. I water it every moment, lest anyone damage it. I guard it night and day. And so the people of God are the vineyard or the garden. God is the gardener. But then we know this, that Israel grew wild and they grew off the path, which led to fruitlessness, and then they begin to wither because they followed after other gods and they brought destruction to the garden. Jeremiah chapter 12 verse 10 says, many shepherds have ruined my vineyard. They have trampled down my field. They have made my pleasant field a desolate wilderness. And so there's a lot of competition that was happening in this garden, and unfortunately, they followed after other shepherds. They followed after other gods. And then they no longer bore any fruit and even withered and died in some places. And thus the warning is laid out for us. So again, God is the gardener. The people of God, the vineyard altogether. Jesus is the true vine. We also know the disciples are the branches that lay out here. And so the branches need to be connected to the vine. If the branches are not connected to the vine, they die and they wither and they bear no fruit. And so this is a message that Jesus wants to share with us. We need to be connected to this vine. We need the life of this vine to flow through us so that we can be prosperous and so that we can bear fruit. And so my question today really centers on this idea. What can we do to stay connected to this true vine? Many years ago, when I was living in Costa Mesa, California, I bought a house. And one of the reasons I bought this house was not only because I got a great deal, but when you walk through the front door or the pathway to the front door of the house, there were these beautiful roses. I mean, just beautiful roses. There's a very old woman from the Virgin Islands was living there, and she loved gardening. And I came in, and I mean, it was so lush, and the smell, the aroma of these roses, and I was like, wow, I want to walk into my house with this kind of smell. Well, I didn't know that you need to take care of these roses. They're not just going to keep growing every single year. And the next year, not much was happening, and my rose bush was just growing wild, and I didn't know what to do. And finally, my neighbor had some mercy on me and showed me what to do, and then I had to sit there and prune it all. And I didn't quite understand it. Well, you know, you cut away so that it can even grow more. But I learned some valuable lessons there. I learned that you need to take care of the garden. That if left alone, it's going to go crazy. It's going to go wild in this way. And that really speaks to me about our spiritual life and the disciplines that we need to have so that we can stay connected to this true vine. Left by ourselves, left without any of our disciplines, it will go wild and we will chase after other gods. That's the reality, brothers and sisters. And so I want to go to this passage, and I just want to allow the Lord to really speak to us about how we can be connected, how to stay connected to this true vine, which is so important. So I have just 3 points for us, and I was able to put R's in all of them. So 3 R's, so very simple. And hopefully the Lord blesses you as he's blessed me in preparing this message. And so the first thing that we need to do to stay connected to the true vine, because there's fake vines out there that are in competition, and they want us. They want our attention. They want our affections. So we need to be careful. So how can I stay connected to the true vine? Number one, remain. Remain. The Bible says, John says here, that if you remain in me and I in you, if you abide in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. The word there is the word meno, and it means abide. It means remain. It means to stay, to dwell on. It means to endure. The best definition that I like, it just simply means to continue to be present. Isn't that amazing? To continue to be present. Some of your marriages will change overnight if you as husbands, you learn to just continue to be present instead of escaping into other things. Now, this word meno occurs 40 times in the book of John. The verb is clearly defined as permanence, remaining, staying, to continue to be present. In our relationship with Jesus, brothers and sisters, don't go anywhere. Just stay put. Think about this. How do we learn to become intimate with Jesus? It starts by simply staying put, being quiet before the Lord. I share this story. It's one of my favorite stories on prayer. And it's Peter Jennings, who was an ABC, a television broadcaster, newsman. And he was interviewing Mother Teresa. And in the interview, Peter Jennings asked Mother Teresa this question. Peter Jennings said, "When you pray, Mother Teresa, what do you say?" And Mother Teresa looked back at Peter Jennings with her scrunched face, and she said, "Say? I don't say anything. I listen." And then Peter Jennings responded to Mother Teresa and says that, "What does God say to you?" And Mother Teresa responded, "Nothing. He listens." And she said, "And if you can't understand that, then I can't really help you much with this." And it's this idea. Mother Teresa taught us a valuable lesson on abiding, staying put. There's so much competition around us. There's so many things vying for our attention and our affection. We need to learn to quiet our souls and to stay put in Christ, to open up our hearts to Him, to open up our ears and our eyes and just watch what Jesus is doing in the midst of us, to hear the whisper of His voice in our hearts. We need to learn to remain, to stay put. Maybe sometimes to be quiet, to just sit in His presence and just allow the Holy Spirit, allow the work of God to really move in our lives. Many years ago, there was a very, very close friend of mine, and he was just really learning to abide in the Lord and really learning to draw forth an intimacy. He came from a tradition that was very much a work-oriented faith. And he used to share with me, he says, "Sam, you won't understand what's going on with me these days." And he says that he just sits in a room and he just learned just to stay, just to remain, to abide in the Lord. And he even said that sometimes he would just open his arms like this, and as if he's hugging the Lord because the Lord was hugging him. That's how close he felt with God. And the discipline just started by just staying, quieting our hearts. Sometimes it's difficult to do, but it starts by just staying put. How do we connect? Remain. Remain. And so even now, can I just invite us? Let's just take a moment and let's just quiet our hearts. Let's quiet our souls. Let's learn the discipline of remaining, of abiding. I just get this picture of John just leaning on Jesus' chest, and he's just staying there. You see Mary kneeling at Jesus' feet. She's just staying there in the midst of all the busyness that's in the house. Just stays. Abide. Remain. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let's learn to abide. Let's just stay put. Even now, can we do that? Let's just stay put. Thank you, Jesus. Teach us, Lord, to abide. Teach us to remain. Doesn't that feel so good? I mean, just take that, just breathe in the breath of God. Number two, what do? We recognize. How do you stay connected to the vine, true vine? We recognize. What do you recognize? You recognize we can't do anything without Jesus. Nothing. Jesus says in John 15:5, the second part, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Nothing. This is the reality. We can't do anything apart from Jesus. But we think we can, and that's the problem. It's so important. And I wonder, do you really, really believe that? Do you really believe that you can't do anything? Because if we really are able to recognize that in our life, you know what it's going to do? It'll change our prayer lives drastically. You've heard me teach on this many, many times. You know, the root or the base sin of prayerlessness is not laziness. It's not busyness. It's actually self-sufficiency. The reason why most of us don't have a vibrant prayer life is because deep inside, we think we can do it ourselves. That's the reality. We think we can do it ourselves. And so we're not people of prayer. People of prayer have this deep conviction, this deep recognition inside that, Lord, I can't do anything of any spiritual value, of any value whatsoever, apart from you. Apart from, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I'll give you an example. Do you remember your first day of work and how scared you are, how fearful you were? You didn't understand. You didn't know what you're doing. And you went to work and you prayed, oh, God, help me. Help me, Lord. And then you got good at your work. You got used to what you're doing. And then there's no longer that desperation. There's no longer that dependency until you came into a situation that you couldn't handle on your own, that you couldn't do by your own strength. And so what did you do? You went back to, oh, God, please help me. I'm desperate for you. Isn't that a reality? The base sin, the root sin of prayerlessness, of not praying, is not busyness, it's not laziness, it's self-sufficiency. And so let's get out of that place of self-sufficiency and let's get into the place of dependency. Lord, we need you. Lord, I need you. I need you. I love that hymn, Lord, oh, how I need you. Lord, every hour I need you. That's the deep truth that rings from our heart by the Spirit of God living inside of us. And that will propel us into this place of prayer. We have to recognize our frailty. We have to recognize our limitations. It's so important. And it's interesting that every time we come to that recognition, we find ourselves in that place of prayer, that place of desperation where we should have been all along. Amen? Let's recognize that we can't do anything without Jesus. The last one, number three, is really simple. And we just simply need to read. We just simply need to read. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. It's so important for his words to abide in us. It's so important that we get the word of God to live inside of us every single day. We absorb ourselves in his word every single day. The word of God is so powerful. Psalm 119:9-11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping according to your word. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. The word of God needs to be inside of us. We need to read it and have it living inside of us. It's so important. Years ago, I was so impacted by this story. And Dan Sneed, who is one of our retreat speakers, a YWAMer, he shared a story of a young man. And when Dan used to run a drug rehab center, there was a young man who had come into his center, and this guy was almost brain dead. His brain was absolutely fried from extreme drug use and almost in a comatose state. And so as part of the discipleship plan that he had for the other guys that were in the drug rehab center, he had these guys round the clock, sit at this young man's bedside and just read the word of God. That's all they did, 24/7. It just took shifts. They just read the word of God over and over again to this young man, because Dan knew that the word of God has power. This man's in a desperate state. There's nothing that they can do. The only thing they knew is to pray and to read God's word. You know what happened? These young men read the word of God to this young man, and he started waking up. All of a sudden, the damage that was done to his brain started to get reversed. And you know what happened? This guy eventually got accepted to Stanford University. And I actually don't know what he's doing now, but man, I can't get into Stanford. Most of you guys can't get into Stanford. But here's this young man who fried his brain through drugs. And it was this reading of the word over and over and over again that began to awaken something inside of him. Isn't it true? Hebrews 4:12, it tells us very clearly, the word of God is living and active. Living and active. And so we need to make sure the Word of God is deep within us, that it lives within us. And the only way is we got to start to read. We need to get into the Word. We need to have the Word speak into our life to change and transform us, to reveal the deep things of God, but to also to reveal the deep things that are inside of us. It happens when we come into this place of the Word. It's so important. The Word of God needs to be inside of us. His words need to abide in us. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide, my words remain, they stay put inside of you, then he says, man, ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. What a powerful statement of prayer. Brothers and sisters, you understand there's so much competition out there for our attention and our affection. There's so much. The world, with all its demands, are just screaming at us, enticing us with all sorts of things. But the Lord is calling us away to Him. The Lord is calling us to just remain, to stay put. Don't go anywhere. Just be present in this moment right now. That's what He wants. He's inviting us to come away with Him. All we need to do is open up our hearts and let Him in. Amen. So can we do that? Let's just close our eyes right now and invite Pastor Nate to come lead us in singing this song. And just listen to the overture of Jesus' heart. He's saying, come away with me. Just come away with me. Open up your heart. And Jesus says, and let me in. Can we do that? Wherever you are, in your living rooms, anywhere, as P. Nate begins to lead us, let's just close our eyes and let's remain. Let's stay in this place. Let's open up our hearts and let Him in. Go ahead, P. Nate. Why don't you lead us?
Never too late, it's not too late, it's not too late for you. I have a plan for you, I have a plan for you. It's gonna be wild. Be great, it's gonna be full of me. Come away, come away with me, come away with me. It's never too late, it's not too late. It's not too late for you. I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be full. Open up your heart and let me in. Open up your heart and let me in. open up your heart and let me in. So open up your heart and let me in. Come away with me. Come away with me. It's never too late. It's not too late. It's not too late for you. I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be full. So open up your heart and let me in. Open up your heart and let me in. Open up your heart. Open up your heart and let me in. Oh, open up your heart and let me in. Let's sing, "To God we open up our hearts. We open up our hearts and let you in. We open up our hearts and let you in. Oh. We open up our hearts and let you in. We open up our hearts and let you in.
Thank you, P. Nate, for leading us. Let's pray together. Lord, you are the true vine. We are the branches. Lord, in order for us to bear fruit, we need to be connected to the true vine. We don't chase after other vines. We're not connected to other things, but only to you. And so, Lord, would you help us, God, Help us to learn to abide, to remain, to stay put. Lord, to recognize we can't do it without you, anything of value without you. And teach us that your words would abide in us. Lord, give us the heart to read, to go deeper into your word. Lead us, God. In this season, in this hour, Lord, we need you so desperately. Forgive us, God, for trying to do everything in our own strength. Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. Burn that in our heart. Burn that word in our heart, God. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you, Lord. As we look to the Passion Week, as we look to the cross, as we finish this last week of Lent, Lord, we pray that you lead us, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'll be coming out of quarantine soon this week, and I'll see you next week, I guess on video still, but we're really looking forward to getting out of this place and just being with my family again. So please continue to pray, and let's remain. Let's stay put in Christ. Amen. Take care, guys. Bye.